This podcast is brought to you by Voice of Vets. Voice of Vets. Hear it. Feel it. Feel it. Feel it. Feel it. Feel it.
Answering us into the final hour of the Area Code with Zex Twala and Preeti. We're in now 12 minutes after 11, and we've got a special guest in the building.
Yes, we do, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
I think we've long anticipated this very moment. We'll be talking about ancestral realm, and we're specifically zooming into, once again, inheriting the opposite sex of your ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a woman, you find Uguti, they are ancestors, they are people that inherit this gift, and you find that you need to address them as umkhulu, and yet it's a female, you know.
Yo.
So that's what we're trying to understand in the third and final hour of Area Code. And it's officially the last Wednesday, wrapping it all up of August, in the month of August.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such amazing topics, specifically because we've been under the same bracket. You know,
yeah.
We've moved from your testosterone levels, we moved to transgender, and then we went on to menstrual mm-hmm. cycle. Also inviting men into the conversation and
yes.
saying, why do they not know what menstruation is and how can they help? Mm. How can we further educate them? Now, today we are joined by Ugogo Dineo Ndlanzi, who is celebrated as a Sangoma spiritual teacher, life coach, and a professional African storyteller, poet, writer, dancer, and facilitator. So many things.
Yes.
Oh my. You know when you want to ask, what are you not?
Yes.
If I can just say on a broader scale, this is like maximizing on every single opportunity, and I love it for South Africa. Ugogo Dineo, welcome to Area Code.
Togoza, thank you.
What is the appropriate way to greet you or
however
to address
that makes
you?
Sense to you? I just like Togoza because it's a jubilant salutation. So,
what do you mean jubilant salutation?
I mean Togoza.
Yeah.
You know, what do you understand Togoza to be?
Happy. Jubilant.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So when I say it's a jubilant salutation, and when I say Togozan, it means I don't just greet all of you in the room, I also greet the people that you work with.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but I don't mind how even when people call me Dineo, I'm fine.
Mm.
But I think I wanted Togoza and Togoza Gogo because I needed to change mindsets around the work that we do and who mm-hmm. we are as African spiritual healers. So I became intentional about Togoza Gogo so that people don't feel off when one is greeted and such, because we have really lost a lot of understanding around how we do things and why we say things.
Yeah.
And we've become, I think, moved away from the essences of certain things.
Mm.
But the more we do it and the more we have positive connotations to the greetings, to the name Gogo, then people can fully then embrace it.
Don't you find it, while we're still in the greetings, don't you find it rude to call you Dineo by, like, say, a youngster calling you by name? Because as a black person, it's quite rude to call someone by their names.
Well, you know, I try to be aware of what is it that you are triggering in me.
Okay.
Right? Because is it because you're disrespecting me, or is it because you have no any other way except to address me as Dineo?
Okay.
Because we also don't grow up in families that would teach us those things.
Mm.
So I can say, I rather than finding it rude, then see it as an opportunity to teach. I rather say, no, please call me Coco Dineo or Auntie Dineo. So I don't become offended, but I see it as a moment of teaching. So even when children call me, they either call me Mama Gasbusiso or by one of my children's names, or they call me Auntie Dineo or Coco Dineo. But I find it also overwhelming to be always called Coco Dineo, because Coco Dineo is my work.
Oh.
You know, so if I'm seen as Coco Dineo, then I need to show up as Coco Dineo every day, all day.
Mm.
And I can't show up as Coco Dineo, you know, because Coco Dineo is the spiritual teacher. Coco Dineo is the person that you were introducing on air right now.
Mm.
But I'm also Dineo. But Dineo is an elder to anyone who's younger than me. Then there are preferences, you know. And, because we can easily get offended.
But
sometimes people don't know. And we are the teachers that we are seeking. So let's teach our young ones to say, no, mundo mtala. Because my kids are not allowed to call people older by their names.
Their names,
you know. And actually, everyone is called Coco and Nkulu. Because that's the names we use all the time.
Yeah.
You know, but Mkoko and Kulu just means elder and the wise elder.
Mm.
So that's what it is.
Mm.
Okay. Koko Dinewa, before we get carried away. You know, it's such beautiful teachings to actually learn about Thokoza and the introduction to it. Now, let's talk about the introduction to a calling. In what specific way does one actually find out that they have a calling?
You know, I like this kind of questions because how we've been programmed is to be cognitive thinkers. And when you look at spirituality, it's quite complex. So things don't appear in a linear sense where you can say, step one, I found out I had a calling when this happened.
Yeah.
Step two, then this happened. And step three, then this happened. It doesn't work like that. For a lot of people, is that there has to be a pattern of a discourse that you've had from since when you were young. So what we call an awakening, I call it an awakening because I like somewhat having a positive connotation to experiences because how we perceive and think about things creates our reality. So versus that suffering, I'd say awakening moments. So what has been your lifelong standing issue, right? Mm-hmm. So I'll speak for me, for example, my long life standing issue has been that I've always been an intelligent child. Mm. I've always worked hard and I've always given my best, but I wouldn't get what I give in, right? Mm. And that started to have me question. And I was a committed, dedicated Christian at the time.
Mm.
And I questioned God even to say, hey, but I go to church and I pay my dues and I'm a devoted Christian and I work hard. I love, I mean, I was hardly ever in trouble as a child. So I wasn't a naughty child. I never went to a Maastricht bash.
So
was
you must be the favorite.
At school, I was loved by my teachers but hated by my peers because I strived for education and I grew up in Alex. So I knew that my life was not meant to be I knew that my life was outside of Alex. This life that I was succumbed to, I knew that there was better. I always knew, even though I wasn't exposed to better, but there was something in me that knew better. But despite what I was told by the teachers and by society that if you work hard, if you go to school and you get a good education, you will be X and X, things never seemed to come right for my life.
Mm-hmm.
So things would always fail without explainable reasons.
Uh-huh.
So how do we connect that to people who have a calling is when they have unexplainable experiences that science fails to explain, that society fails to explain, when something just goes amiss with your life, right? Here I am, I know I got my straight A's and I wanted to go to vets, but somewhat my application just seems to disappear.
Yeah.
It's not even about not having the resources for registration. When, things that are unfamiliar and there's no explanation, some people would say that I cannot seem to get my matric statement or my matric certificate, which is what happened to me, by the way.
Mm.
So I did my matric in an American school. So when I had to get it, it just disappeared in the mail. We couldn't find it. It took me 6 months for it to come to South Africa. And the Americans in the South African educational system, we don't do the same school year.
Yes.
So the school year starts in August. So it means that by the time 6 months later, I was way off to apply for varsity anyway, because they were waiting for my final results for admission.
Yeah.
So when those unexplainable things are starting to happen, understand that chances are you might have the calling. Then you've got a manifestation of what we call calling symptoms, right? That would be medical. So let's look at the medical symptoms. Like people will say migraines, but it's not a migraine. It's a persistent headache that has you paralyzed, that you cannot function.
Mm.
So you can't even eat or drink or sleep. So, and you've tried anything else and it doesn't work. BEPS are common, and let's be clear, indigestion also causes BEPS. But the indigestion BEPS and the ancestral BEPS, you differ them in this way. When you are BEPing and the discomfort is not in your physical body, in your biology, it's just maybe a condition because like, oh my God, BEPing is so rude. I need to say excuse. But it just comes out. It's just clean air. Then you know it's ancestral. But when you feel like it's bitter and it's got acidity, then you know that you are
indigestion.
You know? So, like, I'm gonna bep anytime, anywhere in this conversation, and I know that I actually need a mask up on my way here. So I haven't had anything and drank water, right?
Mm.
So when relationships seems to fail, intimate relationships, and I like it when people move out of varsity and they hit in their mid-20s and they're looking for stable relationships.
Mm.
That's when they realize they have a calling because they go through a bad breakup. and they can't understand. Somebody called off the wedding, or they broke off an engagement, yes, or love life didn't happen, and this is your love of your life. You met them at varsity. So what's going on? You know, what happened here? And you realize you've always had the calling because you struggled. You know, you were smart, but you would pass out in class, mm-hmm, or you see, I'm an 80s child, so I'm trying to think what do they write on? Because they used to write on chalkboards. So the chalkboard will be blurry.
Look, we've gone digital.
Yes,
now.
We've gone digital, right? So I know my kids with online learning, I'm like,
exactly.
We used to write on chalkboards, not on iPads. So with relationship failings, unexplainable medical conditions, right? That would occur. And the big thing is that pay attention to how has your life been? From when you realize you were alive. And what do I mean at that? Around the ages of 5, right? Because even your birth itself speaks and tells a story. And that's why Africans are so spiritually intelligent, because we read into everything. So when you say you have a calling, you don't come to me with a headache and I conclude it's a calling. I look at a collective of experiences, elements, diseases which have appeared in your life over a period of time, mm-hmm, that determines you have a calling. I mean, one important one that I say to people, even when they told they are called but don't experience, is dreaming. Right? So dreaming is kind of like a gateway to the spirit world. It's language of spirit.
Yes.
So if you are not dreaming, but you are told you are called, then how are you then expected to connect to the world in which is calling you? Right? So you need to start by, you know, either building a relationship with your ancestors or getting that world activated, because dreams are incremental. I mean, we see right now with the thing of the calling, it looks like everybody are twice again.
I was getting there. I was getting there. You know, I heard you talking about this.
It feels weird.
It's fine if you don't want to have it on.
I never do radio interviews with this on because I need to listen to myself as I speak.
It's okay. It's all right. You know, you're talking about your education life and how you were a perfect child, and also Christianity being a part of that.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about society, the community at large, and how you maneuvered your way around them and made sure that they understand the different journeys that you're transitioning into.
I mean, I think for me, you know, when you feel like you've had enough, like I think I got to a point, I got to a point where I was, no, my stream has paused because I was trying to also stream. I guess network is not good in the building. So I got to a point in my life where I was like, no, man. I've ticked all the boxes. What's really happening? What's really going on? And I was in the middle of my theology studies, mm-hmm, because I wanted to get into ministry because I was good as a teacher,
yes,
or as a preacher. And I think some of my, you know, eloquences and articulations were crafted in the church. And that's why I can speak so well. Yeah. So, and my arts background, because I'm a performing artist. Yes. So, and I was like, I need to understand who this God is really. Right. And this was after a provocation by a Rastafarian man. And I tell the story all the time about what kind of God I believe in and why God doesn't look like me. I found that as blasphemy. I found that as offensive. But it was so uncomfortable that it put me on a journey to really then start to question, mm-hmm, everything that I was taught at church, everything I was taught at home, to really understand who was I as an African. Because here I am, I do know I'm black because my skin tone is that way, brown, by the way. But who is then, what is my genetics? And that's when I learned about melanin. So I went on a learning quest and I started having conversations with God. And I said, if you really do exist, you need to start giving me some straightforward answers, because I'm not going to go around in circles and devoting my life to you, yet I'm struggling, because I struggled, you know.
Yes.
I got kicked out of the school because of my mental illness. I almost lost my bursary at the American school because I was diagnosed with temporal lobe epilepsy.
Oh, yes.
But I didn't have epilepsy. Bing little. But that's the
Science.
Only diagnosis they could get. And I remember going to Helen Joseph and just the creepiness of the hospital buildings and being asked questions I had no answers to. Why are you hearing voices? What are the voices saying? And at, you know, at my young self, how do I articulate the complexity?
And when you say young self.
Yeah, I was 17. Right. And here I was programmed as a Christian, and it is a programming.
Absolutely.
Because you're not supposed to hear anything. You're not supposed to see anything. You know, you're supposed to just believe everything. That's what religion does. So it was quite frightening for me. And I just said, no, but I keep on hearing people talking and they're telling me things. And yes, at the time, it felt like the things what they were telling me were harmful. Because also, remember when you're hearing ancestral messages, when you are hearing, when you're a hearer, right? When you're hearing them, when you have to speak them out, your own pre-understanding of things and preconditioning also comes into part. That's where they say the story changes as it gets narrated over and over again. So as I was trying to articulate and express the things that I was experiencing, I would only express those things in a language that was familiar to me. So it became scary. You know, because it was like, why is this deep voice talking in my head? But this was the male ancestor that is I'm walking with, or the male ancestors that I walk with. Or why am I hearing them saying, you have to run? I'm like, run where? You know?
I can't help but imagine that in the middle of the night, when you're coming out from a club and it's just a voice saying you have to run. You know,
it's crazy. Or when you, when I mean, I was in boarding school, right? And then I'd feel like screaming and shouting. And I do believe that, you know, if science understood African psychology, it would really benefit mainstream psychology. Because I do understand that because of the gift, I've experienced a series of traumas, which is what I said earlier on. What is your suffering? I've experienced a series of traumas born in Alexandra, you know, towards the end of apartheid, experienced sexual assault and a whole lot of forms of violence that most women succumb to in townships. So mentally and I guess psychologically and emotionally, there was distress as well. But had they understood that Dineo is probably distressed, traumatized child, but a called child too. Can you imagine that a collective intervention?
Yes.
And the type of person society would have of me. I mean, it had a greater person after all.
Yeah.
But it took a lot of work for me to get to where I am. Because you find that a lot of gifted people, even past their training, they become worse off than they were. Because the trauma that occurred prior to them taking the journey of becoming a Sangoma was not addressed. The process of initiation of being a Sangoma is traumatic on its own because you are taken out of a world of the familiar into a world that's quite unfamiliar because we don't have classes from grade one where it's like, let's speak about ukuphahla, ukuphahla. So let's speak about impepho. So that is traumatic because you are being invited into a world of the unfamiliar, and you might have grown up with a different belief system and you feel like I'm forced into this belief system because there's no any other way. I keep on failing. I need to pass. I'm applying for work. I can't get a job. My relationship. So sometimes people do it out of desperation. And the desperation on itself is a trauma response.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned during your the storytelling that you inherited a male ancestor.
Yeah.
So we just want to know specifically when it comes to that, when you inherit a different or an opposite sex, how does it play out? Does it have a pattern behavior in terms of the way you behave?
Okay.
A pattern difference? And also looking at maybe internally, testosterones maybe, is there also an imbalance or is it just something different compared to that?
So when we say inherited, you know, sometimes when we translate words from our indigenous language into English, I don't think it's an inheritance. In isiZulu, right?
Okay.
Meaning actually, then you have been possessed by idlozi, meaning the spirit or that made. So for me, majority of my ancestral guides or the ones who have come with the gift are male. But ironically as well is that the dominant spirit is female, right? And I've been learning that over the past 2 years that the queen that rules, it's a female, it's a she. But it feels like I needed to have the males show up first. And also the males showing up was a way to protect me from the toxic masculinity that I've experienced growing up. I spoke about experiencing abuse as a child. Then I did somewhat adapt a masculine demeanor as a way of protection. So when I walk on the street, nyapamba, I still do. I don't know how to, right? And when I speak, I still have certain masculine mannerisms, you know? But I understand that it was I could have easily thought I am, you know, I'm not heterosexual, you know? And I always say to people, I'm heterosexual now. I don't know, because I believe I evolve. I don't know. I can never say that tomorrow I fall in love with a woman and I'm like, hi, but I said. And that's what the gift of spirituality is that nothing gets cast in stone, but you've got, you know, certain principles that are governing and guiding you so that you're not then doing everything and killing in the name of spirituality and hating in the name of spirituality. So when ngingenwa ile lozi, I also believe that they themselves who possess us are also wounded and seeking healing through us. So when we experience ancestral, the calling, we're not only healing us, but we're healing a lineage of our ancestors. Because I'm realizing his own pain, you know, his own torture and torments, the betrayals he had to experience. And I look at how my life outplayed itself and the betrayal and the torture I had to experience. So by healing me somewhat, I'm also healing them. And by healing them, then I'm allowing for my divine feminine to emerge. So it becomes complex, because when you begin the journey, you don't know how to separate yourself from all of these things. And sometimes you can't. It's about how do you find synergy and a dance, you know, between your masculine and your feminine. Because even in our nature, we are both female and male. We've got testosterone and estrogen. Yes. It depends what is more dominant. And that's why a heterosexuality is no longer a thing for everyone, because they might be born of a particular sex, but then because of not only they are homos, but other things, then they present themselves as something else, you know? Yeah. And I see that a lot in our work as izangoma. But the danger becomes when people do not truly want to own up to their sexuality at aidlozi, you know? When people don't want to truly own up to their misbehaviors. I'm an alcoholic. I'm like, ah, ngeno mkulu tagwai. Hold up, mkulu. This is my liver. You know? And I do, I mean, I rarely drink. I'm not a drinker. I'm not a... So when I have lelotlo zelfiga alpuza, sometimes I have to ask it to say no, because it's my body that's going to take it all.
Yeah.
So I want people to also understand, Guti, in Lozi world, there's no gender. Gender constructs do not exist. We have created them for our human conceptualization of identities.
Yes.
But it's really not, it doesn't exist. Because Edlozi in our care, because, oh, yeah, you're a female, so Edlozi Lendota, I'm going to go to you. You are seen as befitting to be a holder and a vessel for the gift which you, it's being passed on you. And by the way, this is a conversation for another time. I believe we created soul contracts with our ancestors and agreed to getting the gifts and the calling. So when we are suffering, we are being reminded of what we are failing to honor. Because remember, before we are born, we are spirits. So at spirit, we understand the ultimate truth. So we make all these agreements. And yeah, when I do not agree to the calling by the age of 21, I would like to experience this incident or this misfortune as a reminder of what I said. We all are here. We are all are called. We all are going through ugutwasa process, because some people will say, so does it mean minitlos namlang twasisa? We are all going through ugutwasiswa by our own life experiences. But when you are gifted to heal other, you cannot say, I am gonna just I'll be self-made. It means you need a mentor. You need somebody who can hold space. You need somebody who can actually help you put things into perspective. So what do I mean? Because we don't all twasa to become healers of the other. We just twasa to heal our own lineage and ourselves. But we don't twasa to be... But when you're saying, I'm going to heal other people, who's going to help you be accountable to the practice itself? Because I see a trend again of people, I mean, I'm a young twasis, but the next thing you want to be a train of other people. But you are never trained by other people. So why do you want to train other people? So it's the same way as that you can never say, I am a doctor if you didn't study medicine.
Yes.
You can have a natural inclination, intellect of understanding biology. I think that's also a skill I have because I understand biology. But I cannot claim and say I'm a medical doctor. Mm-hmm. I have to go through because there's a vetting process that qualifies me as such. Mm. So similar to those who are saying they're going through a process, do not qualify. Somebody has to qualify you as such because you went through a process of training and initiation. And let me explain initiation. It's a rebirth, shedding off the old.
Yes.
And as a healer, part of your work is to actually deconstruct your false sense of identity, ego. That's why you go through Gutwasa. So even when you're working as a healer, you're not self-serving. You are working for the betterment of the collective. So those who I find that bias twasis or batamatlus, bias twas, they then become quite pompous, you know? Even the people who go epechen for 3 months, I don't subscribe to 3 months, and I've said that because the first 3 months is an adjustment of your new life as an initiate.
Yes.
So, but they come out as, it's the ones you will always see, I'm so powerful, my muti and my processes, and I'm the, you know, they become quite arrogant and egotistic and self-serving, then it doesn't meet the requirements of you of being healer, because healer is facilitator. And you know, as a facilitator, you hold space. Then how do you hold space for others if it's about I?
I'm going to quote you here. You said when someone is dreaming, that's when you communicate with the spirit world. And you say in the Lozi world, there is no gender.
Yeah. There's no gender, race, color.
Then why then there's Gogo, not I hardly hear Mkulu in the Lozi people. It's always Gogo.
I think we need to be honest, and I'm going to take credit. I made Gogo happen.
Okay.
Because when I started with this work, I'm taking the credit. I made Gogo happen, you know? Because I think that's part of my healing, actually. Because one of the things is I always, because I'm so fearless of, but I made Gogo happen because when I went, my first interview, I was asked, how do they refer to me? And I said, please refer to me as Gogo Dineo Ndlanzi.
Mm.
Right? Then the more I occupied media, mainstream media, yes, the more Gogo became. Then everybody can now say, I'm Gogo so-and-so. We'd only hear of traditional doctor or traditional healer. We would never hear somebody. I made the title.
Yes.
No, I didn't initiate the title. I just make the title more acceptable and that people can carry themselves. There are Mkulus as well. So for people when they come to and experience my work as a sangoma, they refer to me as a Mkulu, not Gogo.
Yeah.
So the teacher is Gogo Dineo, but the healer, the forefront man is Mkulu. So my patients refer to me as Mkulu, most of them. And my ancestral kids call me Baba. My grandchildren call me Mkulu. I even have a great-grandchild, so I'm a great-grandfather. I'm old, eh?
Yeah, no, you were speaking about the 80s there. We heard you.
No, but great-grandfather in my 40s. But in the Lozi world, that's a high accolade to be a great-grandparent, because it means that you've got your own village now, you know, or you've got your own bande. It's exciting, but it's also scary because you can easily change the rules and move away from the essences that keep the work together. Because for me, innovation is important because, my work as well is I've innovated Bungoma. Because now everybody can have a show about it. People can record a single hit and call it Itlozi Lami Liyaphila. Whereas before, it would be something that people would be afraid about. How is the market going to receive it?
Yeah.
Because our association to Lozi was demonic and was evil. So we need to be truthful about those things and give credit where it's due.
And I wanted to go there. You know, you're talking about people hiding behind Ubungoma when it comes to their sexuality, people hiding behind Ubungoma because of their drinking habits, and also touching on how it has evolved since then. You know, it was known as a dark thing, you know, practicing. It was known as, you know, witches were also burned down because it was something that was familiarized as a dark thing altogether. Now, how do you then separate between people like that in life that hide behind Ubungoma to do what they want to do instead of just practicing in the right manner? Because you find that people will go to 6 different people to consult and get different things. And at the end of the day, you find yourself not doing the right thing when it comes to your ancestors.
It's a two-way thing, right? Because I always say to people, your life is your responsibility and you can't put that responsibility in the hands of any practitioner. And when you go for a consultation, you are not signing up for a lifetime agreement to be working with that practitioner. Mm. So the minute it feels uncomfortable, get out, walk away, right? And when the healer starts to threaten you and tell you you're going to die and you don't know my people, then you know you actually it's good for you that you are gone. But you will still need to do work to protect yourself from any spiritual attacks. So it's when people hide behind that, it's not only Izangoma, we all hide behind things and excuses as I just love my wine. But when your wine, when you become your wine becomes your life, it's a problem. But we are a traumatized nation. And that's why if you listen to me speak, right, I speak of the intersectionality of spirituality, because you cannot speak of Ubungoma and not touch on mental illness. You cannot speak of mental illness and not speak about wellness and health, because there's a lot of people who are biologically ill because of the thoughts they keep on replaying in their minds. Mm. We understand that anger, if unspoken and not processed, leads to rage. Rage is resentment. Yes. Resentment can get you cancer, because cancer is healthy, your cells being attacked, like your healthy cells being attacked. Yes. And science sometimes sees it and sometimes doesn't want to see it. And then that's when we speak about metaphysics, because metaphysics helps us think in connections, in a much more interconnected approach than in a singular approach. But that's why we are in quantum physics now and not in mechanical physics. We've moved away from Newtonian thinking. Even Ebungomeni, we need to be quantum physicians, meaning that to see a patient as a complex entity. Mm. So when you're coming to me and you've got a calling, I shouldn't just be excited about initiating you. I should be curious about how do I restore you back to health.
Absolutely. Yeah. We've got 9 minutes left with Gogo Dineo. Drop us a WhatsApp on 0804-078-491. So it's very tense in here. What do you want to say? We have a caller who goes by the name of Papi. Papi, good morning and welcome to the area code.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. How are you?
We are well. What's your question for Gogo Dineo?
Yes, firstly, I would like to say good morning, Gogo Dineo. How are you?
Tell us, I'm cool.
I'm good, I'm good. So my question is usually based on curiosity, right? So, and I wouldn't go to bed in a good mood if it wasn't answered. And it's mainly based on the process of reincarnation, right? And according to the Asian religions, they believe in reincarnation, which is basically, you know, the process of dying and being born again in a different body, and this process keeps on going on and on and on until a person reaches liberation. And it is also said that these people who are in this stage or in this cycle, they come back to try and fulfill the purposes that they wanted to fulfill in the past life. So would you say that a calling is some sort of reincarnation, some sort of process of reincarnation? Because as you said earlier, that you can have a calling and it would be a male ancestor or a female ancestor. Would you say that these ancestors are coming back just to fulfill a purpose that they wanted to fulfill initially? And then once they fulfill this process, they finally give chance to another ancestor?
Okay, so I'm going to quote Maldome Petrisome, who is a West African spiritual healer, and he's the one that actually took African healing into the West.
Mm-hmm.
That was part of his calling from his ancestors. He says an ancestor is one who has all the spiritual intelligence, the know-how and the power to create, but yet had no body. So they are limited. And then we have the body, but sometimes like the spiritual intelligence, because we then get trapped in the body and the mind and not deeply connect to the spirit.
Mm.
So what the caller has just said, it's an end. It's a reincarnation and something else.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Because if we just focus on a reincarnation, remember when the soul reincarnates and it fulfills its purpose, it departs.
Mm.
It's done. So when death occurs, because that soul purpose has been fulfilled, it's painful to us because human beings are attached to attachments,
yes,
to physicality. So it's done, your purpose has been done. So does it mean when you twasa and you heal a particular ancestral wound or lineage, not necessarily be twasa to heal others, do you die? Not necessarily, you know, because it could be that you are yourself. Like, I know I'm a reincarnated soul. I mean, I've just recently discovered that I've lived many lives, and many of my lives, part of my torture was I was persecuted for being a healer.
Mm.
And I think that's why I've came unapologetically as a Sangoma and would stand my ground on it, because maybe this time I'm like, this ain't happening again. You know, and I'm not gonna stand it. So we need to understand that we have lived many lives, but in being shamans or healers, it means that we can also carry many other lives.
Yes.
So it is my soul coming forward, but I have space to allow for this soul to come too, and this one to work, this ancestral spirit. That's why I'm saying that I spoke about quantum physics, and I said, let's not look at things from a mechanical thing. Because, mm-hmm. you know, when we start to be, we can be so aware, so spiritually intelligent, but unwise, right? Because wisdom is something different from intelligence.
I agree with you.
Right? I always say my definition of wisdom is that wisdom is cultivated through life experience, and you cannot have it unless you've lived it.
Yes.
Okay.
Whereas intelligence, you can sit in a classroom and consume
and inquire,
it.
Yes.
And you can read and consume it. And for you to be deeply wise, you require both elements. So we can be intelligent, but in our intelligence, we can also be separating and see things as black and white. Whereas spirituality is about black and white, not black or white, not male or female. Is that I am a female and a male. I am both. And how do I dance with those two energies of the masculine and the feminine? I mean, I came in pink today because when I was getting ready, because I prepare my clothes before that, I'm like, I'm going to go and feel the feminine. Then I was not being directed. And the masculine in me was very present. And that's when I came into studio, I needed to express, because I didn't appreciate that being misdirected,
yeah.
You know, because then I can't come and show up here. But by speaking it, I've released it, and here I am showing up in what I needed to show up.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So that's what is important for people.
I'm just going to wrap it up with the last question. You know, you're talking about getting dressed and feminine side of you coming out, and also being upset, and then you've got Umkhulu coming out.
Hey.
You know, I just want to say, how do you differentiate? How do you keep it, you know, the energy?
Yeah.
You know, you're coming into studio, usubhodlile, you've said your piece, and now you are you again, and you are coming back, and you are giving us Gogo Dinewo at her best and giving us all this information. How do you do it? How do you
it's
keep the balance?
It's continuous work. I think we need to also start to prioritize soft skills work. You know, I'm a big advocate of working on yourself as an asset you are building for anything else in the future. Healthy relationship, productivity at work. You know, we need to prioritize working on ourselves, because I can easily come here and project because I got triggered, because it was uncomfortable. But I felt uncomfortable. But because I'm aware of what happened and what was going on, when I come here, I can say it and let it go. It's done. We're not going to speak about it again. But if I'm not aware, it sits in my energy field.
Uh-huh.
Then when it sits in my energy field, it becomes the rest of my day grumpy.
Mm.
And I cannot afford to have the rest of my day. So I cannot have, because by moving with this energy, and then the rest of my day is miserable.
Mm.
So we need to do body check-in. Check in with your mind, your heart. I woke up and I looked at something and Instagram triggered me. I journaled for 30 minutes. I was writing my feelings down this morning. Journaled. And then I looked at the time. Already I'm ready to go. I'm like, okay, I have a time. I read a book. Then after reading a book, I did a meditation. Self-care work is important. And self-care work is not doing your nails and eating nice food. It's doing the hard work.
Very important.
It's doing the hard work. And that's what you do. And that's how I've learned to work with the masculine me. Because, you know, the masculine me was so brutalized and betrayed by his family. So he carries a lot of wounds. But I realized our wounds are quite similar, because I've carried similar wounds in this lifetime.
Yes.
So as I heal, I'm able to say, because I spoke to Gogo, who picked me up, and I said I didn't appreciate it. But I could have said, how dare you do that? Do you know who I am?
Yeah,
I am Gogo. I am quitting this interview. And trust me, it happens to me too. I get those moments, but I'm aware of what I'm feeling. So I'm like, it's not necessary. Thank you, Dino. I can feel your frustration. I acknowledge that the aspect of me that has, so when I speak with kindness, and you know, my words are impeccable, not all the time, but I'm doing the best. And when I work on myself, I do better. And as I do better, I mean, as I work on myself, I know better. And as I know better, I do better, because yes. I'm a big advocate of being better versions of ourselves, because we are all part of a society we are dreaming of. We need to change us. And if we don't change us, it's not going to change.
All right. So in the interest of time, that's how we wrap it up. I think I got more mental health than what I was anticipating for. And it's nice to understand that, you know, even on the ancestral side of things, mental health is just a huge umbrella.
Yes, it's not very, just, very important.
Yeah. I think, oh, wow. Definitely a shout out to Gogo Dineo. That was amazing. Short-lived interview, but it's time for us to get out of here. Thank you so much to Gogo Dineo for joining us. Maybe just lastly, where can people catch you on the socials?
On the social, all my handles are Gogo Dineo, Nanzi, but also, can I create a boundary? You do not DM me to ask me questions. You pay for my services.
Money talks.
Yeah, no, it's not about money talks. It's about we need to value our lives. And we don't respect, value our lives. Yes. And respect that what I do is a profession.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much, Gogo Dineo.
This podcast was brought to you by Voice of Vets. By Voice of Vets. To hear more of our shows, tune in to 88.1. Or stream via www.vafm.co.za.